Hello, welcome to the Christ Community Church Sermon Podcast. Christ Community is a multi-site church in the Chicago suburbs. Thank you for joining us today. I hope that God uses it to help you take the next step in your relationship with Him. Enjoy the message.
Imagine this. You love baseball. But you've got a friend who doesn't know a whole lot about the game. And so you have been sharing the wonders of baseball with him. And there's an interest that's beginning to peak. So you decide to fan it into flame. You go out and purchase two tickets to a game at Wrigley Field. Now, we know this is the best place in the world to see a ball game. Because it's got 100-plus years of history and ivy-covered outfield walls and your favorite team in Cubby Blue. And best of all, you get to hold a Chicago-style dog that's got tomato wedges and mustard and onions and sports peppers. But don't you dare put ketchup on that bad boy, because then it's not a Chicago dog, all right? So you decide to take this friend to a game, but unfortunately, on the day you show up, a lot of the people who make Wrigley a winsome experience, they're not there. Like, they're missing half the ticket takers, and so you have to wait in this ginormously long line. By the time you get in, the first inning's already over. Only about half of the ushers have shown up, so you have a hard time finding your seat. Okay, the lady who plays the organ, she's taken the day off. And so seventh inning stretch, you were looking forward to your friend seeing everybody stand up and sing "Take Me Out to the Ball Game." There's no "Take Me Out to the Ball Game." There's no "Go Cubs Go" at the end of the game. The guy who runs the Jumbotron, he's not at work today. So there's no instant replays, no stats on the Jumbotron. There's no Chicago style dogs because the cooks haven't shown up. The worst of all, when the Cubbies take the field, they're missing a shortstop, two outfielders, and a catcher. So now at the end of the experience, you drive your friend home and you drop them off, and they rather politely say thank you for the wonderful experience. But you know you have not made a baseball lover of them, because it takes a whole lot of people to make baseball converts, right? Where am I going with this? Well, welcome to week four. This is the final week of a series called Community is Our Middle Name. And it is. We are Christ Community Church. And it's our goal, in the words of our official mission statement, to make passionate disciples of Jesus Christ who are belonging, growing, serving, and reaching. And the Bible has a lot to say about those four marks of a genuine Christ follower: belonging, growing, serving, and reaching. One of the most important aspects of these four characteristics is that we don't develop them on our own. We develop them in community. We develop them in community with other believers. In other words, becoming a disciple of Jesus is a collective experience. So far in this series, we've studied what God's word has to say about what it means to belong to each other, what it means to grow in Christ with each other, what it means to serve one another and serve our communities together. And today we're going to take a look at what it means to reach together. How do we work together to spread the good news, not about baseball, but about Jesus? I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, the scripture text that we're about to look at, was written by one of Jesus' closest friends, a dude named Peter. And when Jesus called Peter to follow him, Peter was out fishing. He was a commercial fisherman on the Sea of Galilee. And so Jesus said to him, Matthew 4:19, he said, "Come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people." Have you surrendered your life to Jesus as Savior and King? Because if you have, when Jesus called you to follow him, he recruited you to fish for people. But please note, fishing for people is a group activity. Jesus didn't recruit Peter to be his one-on-one fishing bud. He chose Peter to be part of a larger group of followers that Jesus was melding together to be a fishing team. And this is the theme of the Bible passage that Peter wrote years later that we're about to look at. Jesus has recruited us to be a fish for Fishing for People team. And one of the marks of genuine Christ followers is that we're reaching together. We're reaching a lost world together. And today we're going to see Peter describes three aspects of what it means to reach together in 1 Peter chapter 2. Here's the first. It has to do with our shared calling. Our shared calling. Now, if your Bible's open to 1 Peter chapter 2, let me read just the first half of verse 9 to you. Follow along as I read. Peter says, "But you, Christ followers, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession." We're going to stop right there. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you, God, for your holy word. Peter describes Christ followers. Are you a Christ follower? He says you're part of a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Now, before we take a deeper dive into what is meant by each of those titles, I want to make two introductory comments about them. The first is this. Each of these four titles is what Bible scholars refer to as a collective singular. In other words, it's describing Christ followers as a team. This is all of us together, okay? And that's going to keep coming back as we take a look at this passage. Sometimes people will say to me when they discover that I'm a pastor, they'll say something like, "Well, I'm a Christian too, even though I don't go to church. And I don't feel like I need to go to church in order to be a good Christian." And I want to say, "Really? See, because imagine this, if I asked you, so what do you do? And you say, "Well, I'm a baseball player." And I say, "Oh, for what team?" And you say, "Well, I don't play for a team. I'm just a baseball player." Huh? See, this following Jesus, this is a collective experience. It's a team thing. Second introductory remark I want to make has to do with where these titles come from originally. Because Peter didn't make them up. He is borrowing Old Testament titles that God gave to his people Israel 1,400 years before Peter wrote this epistle. Shortly after God had delivered these people from 400 years of slavery in Egypt. So why does Peter take these four titles of ancient Israel and apply them to Christ followers? Because we share something in common with ancient Israel. We have been delivered from slavery. Israel was delivered from slavery in Egypt. Christ followers have been delivered from slavery to sin. Slavery to sin. Jesus, if that sounds overly dramatic, Jesus says, John 8, verse 34, he says, "If anyone sins, they're a slave to sin." Now, that means we're all in trouble because we've all sinned. And so we are slaves to sin's penalty, and we are slaves to sin's power. Sin's penalty is death. Romans 6, verse 23 says, "The wages of sin is death." Why death? Well, because we've all defied the giver of life. In countless ways, we have chosen to go our way instead of God's way. God is the giver of life. The penalty for defying the giver of life is death. Not just physical death in this world, but eternal death in the world to come. We were slaves to sin's penalty, and the penalty is death. We're also slaves to sin's power. We can't stop doing the bad things we'd like to stop doing. If you don't believe me, tomorrow when you get up, just determine you're not going to think, say, or do anything bad all day long. And you call me at the end of the day and tell me how it's gone. All right. However, when we surrender our lives to Jesus as Savior and King, we are delivered not only from slavery to sin's penalty, which is death, because Jesus took the death that we deserve to die. We're also delivered from slavery to sin's power because Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to come live inside, who empowers us to say no to sin and yes to God. So this is the reason that Peter applies to Christ followers four Old Testament titles that previously had been used to describe ancient Israelites. We share in common a former slavery. Again, they were delivered from Egypt. We have been delivered from sin, sin's penalty, sin's power. So now that these four titles have been given to us, let's take a look at them one at a time. If your Bible is still open to 1 Peter 2, verse 9, he says, you are a chosen people, a chosen people. In Genesis chapter 12, God chose Abraham, the first choosing. His descendants would become the nation of Israel. For what purpose did God choose Abraham? Was it strictly so that Abe and his grandkids could enjoy a special relationship with God while the rest of the world was denied this blessing? Was it an exclusive assignment? No. Now listen to what God says to Abraham. Genesis 12, verses 2 and 3, God says, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and, listen, and you will be a blessing. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham and his descendants were chosen for a special mission. They were chosen to point the way to a relationship with God. They were blessed in order to bring this blessing to others. Unfortunately, if you've read the Old Testament, you know that ancient Israel didn't do a great job with their chosenness. And now that title belongs to those of us who are Christ followers. You know, Peter calls us a chosen people. We have been blessed in order to bring the blessing of a relationship with Jesus to other people. And we're to do this together. We're a chosen people, which is a collective singular, a team expression. Take a look at the second title that Peter gives us. What does he say? After he says you're a chosen people, what's the next title? Call it out. He says you're a royal priesthood. Now, in Old Testament times, priests were set apart for a special role. They were spiritual mediators. They were go-betweens. They were to represent people to God and God to people. And Peter says that's now the job of Christ followers. And we do this together. This is a collective singular. This is not something we do as individual priests. We are collectively a priesthood. And the reason we're a royal priesthood is that we are presenting people by prayer to the King of Kings. And we're presenting the King of Kings, King Jesus, to people. We are a royal priesthood. Let me give you a real simple example of what this looks like. I lead a couple of men's groups, and during the summer, we take some time off, but one of the groups decided we would get together in the middle of July for some breakfast, and so we met at a local restaurant, and as our food was being served up, I said to Julia, our waitress, I said, hey, Julia, we're about to thank God for the meal, and we would love to pray for you while we're doing this. So how can we pray for you? She said, well, my family is grieving. We just lost grandma. Grandma was from Czech Republic and she recently passed. And I said, well, we will pray for your family. And let me say a quick word too about Czech Republic. I said, all of the brothers around the table here, we go to Christ Community Church and we've got a partner in the Czech Republic. Did you know that the Czech Republic has a smaller percentage of people who believe in God than any other country in Europe? She said, no, I didn't know that. And I said, and we send teams over there to teach young people English, but it gives us a chance while we're teaching them English to share the good news about Jesus. See what we're doing there while we're eating our bacon and eggs, we're being a royal priesthood. We're praying for Julia. We're bringing her before the King of Kings, and we're telling her about the King of Kings. We're representing him to her. We are a royal priesthood together, together. Next title Peter uses to describe our shared calling. He says, you are a holy nation. Now, if you're an American Christ follower, you are a dual citizen of two nations. You are a citizen of the U.S., but far more importantly, you are a citizen of God's eternal kingdom. The Apostle Paul writes in Philippians 3, verse 20, he says, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. This past summer, our country celebrated the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, the document that boldly declares all men are created equal. Unfortunately, when that document was first signed on July 4th, 1776, all men were not equal. One out of every five persons in the colonies at the time was a slave. And many of the people who signed this Declaration of Independence owned slaves. So you think about that and you realize, you know, as we look back, you know, there's a lot that we have to be proud of, to be thankful for as a country, but there are things that we're remorseful about, that we mourn. And that's still true today. You just got to turn on the news and recognize that our country is a mixed bag, you know, good and some bad. You know, in spite of that, people seem to want to come here. As Christ followers, we're citizens of a country that's absolutely perfect. I mean, in God's kingdom, King Jesus will reign with justice and compassion and provision for all and the sense of God's presence. And we get to invite people to immigrate into that country. We are handing out, as it were, kingdom passports. We are a holy nation with open arms declaring, spiritually speaking, give me your tired, your poor, your humbled masses yearning to breathe free. Come on in. Come on in. In Christ Community Church, we're part of that eternal kingdom, that holy nation. Here's a fourth and final title that Peter applies to Christ followers. And once again, it's a title that points to our shared calling to reach others with the good news of Jesus. Peter calls us, middle of verse 9 now. He says, you're God's special possession. Interestingly, if you read this verse in the Old English, if you've got a King James version, it says, you are a peculiar people. I've known a lot of Christ followers who are peculiar, just plain weird, right? But you need to understand in the Old English, peculiar meant special. You're a special people. And in Deuteronomy 7:6, where God eventually, or initially rather, gives this title to ancient Israel, he underscores that point. And he says to Israel, the reason you're special is not because you're great or powerful or numerous as a country, because you're not. No, you're special just because I've decided to pour out my love on you. And this is the message that God has entrusted to us as Christ followers. We get to tell people in the familiar words of John 3:16, God so loved the world, including you, that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God wants you to be a special possession. We get to tell people this, and we get to tell them, this is not a status you have to earn. It's given to everyone who surrenders to Jesus as Savior and King. Now, we spend a lot of time here talking about our shared calling. Who are we? Those of us who are Christ followers, we're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. And each of these point to our mission of reaching together those who don't have Christ. You get it? Good, good. Here's a second aspect of reaching together. It has to do with our shared proclamation. Our shared proclamation. I'm going to go back to 1 Peter 2 and pick it up where we left off. We're in the middle of verse 9. He's been talking about our shared calling. And now he tells us the reason why we've been given that calling, middle of the verse. So you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you're the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the story of every Christ follower. You know, we get to say, once I was living in darkness, spiritually speaking, but now I'm living in the light of Christ. Once I deserved condemnation for my sins, but now I have received the mercy of God. We get to declare this to others, but I want to note that the verb declare here is in the plural. So once again, Peter is not just saying, hey, individually, you get to share this good news with others. He's saying collectively as a team, share this good news. Do this as a church. So how do we do it as a church? How do we share the good news that we've gone from darkness to light, that we've gone from condemnation to God's mercy? You know, 40 some years ago when we started our church, Christ followers typically thought of church as a place for them, kind of exclusively for already convinced believers. Now, it's not that we had bouncers at the door, you know, trying to keep people out of church. Yes. They missed the tattoos. You know, we weren't deliberately trying to keep people out, but it was just assumed church is for believers. Okay, so how do unbelievers, how do those exploring the faith, how do they hear about Jesus? Well, it was assumed we would come to church on the weekend, we would get all amped up, and then Monday to Saturday in our workplaces, our schools, in our golf league, in our neighborhoods, we would talk to people one-on-one about Jesus. But as we started the church, we said, hey, let's take a different view of things. I mean, if people are exploring the faith, the likelihood is at some point they might poke into a church, invited or not. So let's make church as creative and welcoming as we possibly can, so that when people show up who are exploring the faith, they feel like, hey, this is a place for me. So our weekend services, you know, they became something that Christ followers could do together to spread the good news about Jesus. Remember my opening illustration about baseball, taking a friend to Wrigley. It takes a lot of people working together to make for an enjoyable day at Wrigley Field. And the same is true of church on the weekends. We just thought, you know, if you combine enthusiastic greeters at the door with Kids World volunteers and coffee servers and musicians and after service prayers, we could create an environment in which spiritual explorers feel welcome. Now, this isn't to rule out the importance of individually talking to people about Jesus through the week. But let's face it, these conversations that we have during the week, they sometimes end like this. People look at us and they say, that's wonderful. I'm glad it works for you. And then what do you say? Kind of speechless. And how do you engage in a future conversation with Jesus? You've already shot your bullet, right? So, but what if you could say, hey, I would love to invite you to come to church sometime with me, where we reach together. So if you've never invited a friend who's not yet a Christ follower to one of our services, it is so incredibly easy to do. And the first time you listen through the ears of someone who's exploring the faith, it will make you appreciate your church like never before. You know, this is especially easy to do, by the way, on special weekends, like the weekend you get baptized or the weekend you dedicate a child, for you to say to your friends at work, hey, this is a red letter date on my calendar. I would love you to be there to celebrate with me. Would you come, please? You know, this is especially easy to do when we do an inspiring stories weekend. If you got a friend who's a baseball fan, our next inspiring stories weekend is October 17 and 18, and our guest is going to be Carrie Wood. I'm going to be interviewing Carrie. Let me tell you something really special about Carrie. When we heard he's a Christ follower, I went on the internet looking for any kind of information about his faith, and there was nothing. And we came to the realization that he is brand new and walking with Jesus. So I Zoomed with him this summer and we got to know each other a little bit. And then I talked, I had a private phone call with a guy who's mentoring him in the faith. And yeah, he's relatively new. So you bring a friend with you. They're not going to hear the story of someone who's been a Christ follower for 20 years. They're going to hear the story of someone who's relatively new to following Jesus. This is how you make that transition. And someone in whose life Jesus is making a huge impact. So October 17 and 18, and bring somebody with you for this shared proclamation of God's good news, something that we do together. Now, one last word about reaching people together at our weekend services. I love Trader Joe's. Hang with me just a moment. Like, I sometimes go to Trader Joe's even when I got no food to buy because everybody's so friendly to me there. So if this is a shared experience of reaching people who walk through our doors as explorers, would you help us make this a friendly place? Okay, would you come a few minutes early instead of coming in on two wheels, just so you could be here and learn somebody's name? Would you put away your cell phone 5 minutes before the service begins and actually talk to the people around you? When we sing, would you sing from your heart so that people think, wow, these Christ followers, they really mean what they're singing about? See, we have an opportunity to make this a winsome experience, but it takes all of us participating. Are you with me? Yes, good. So you won't give these game faces, you'll give friendly faces. And then, all right. Now, weekend services are, you know, not the only thing that we do together in order to reach a lost world. There are some other things we can do as well. We could do special events together. And at the risk of making this sound like one long infomercial, I want to say a quick word about what each campus is doing this fall. Now, throughout the course of a ministry season, there are a plethora of outreach events that each campus engages in, but I want to give you an example of one event per campus over the next several weeks. And here's what I want you to do. When I mention your campus, as you're watching online at your campus, I want a cheer to break out for your campus. And if you're at the St. Charles South Elgin campus, you got to cheer for every campus. All right, so we're going to start with Huntley. All right, Huntley. Woo! Here's one of the things they're doing by way of outreach collectively. We have a ministry partner called Home of the Sparrow. And at Home of the Sparrow, they provide housing for women who are escaping domestic abuse. And we've got a day set aside. It's Saturday, September 19th, where we're going to beautify the house. We're going to give it a coat of paint. We're going to do some landscaping. So you could come, those of you who are at our Huntley campus, you could come and you could help make this a place where we'll reach abused women. And this is a twofer, because we not only reach abused women, but you have an opportunity to invite a friend, a neighbor, a workmate, and say, hey, we're going to help make this home for abused women beautiful. You want to join me? Who's going to say no to that, right? So you bring them along with you. How about Streamwood? Woo! September 19th, another Saturday, September 19th. They're calling a Good Neighbor Saturday. We're going to park Christ Community Church's food truck a couple of blocks from the Streamwood campus. We're going to do games. We're going to walk around and be friendly. We're going to have a prayer tent there where anybody who wants prayer can step in and get prayed for. It's going to be Streamwooders reaching together. Yes. What about Joliet? Woo! Woo! Joliet, we are so glad that we're beyond that asbestos problem and that the construction's going on again. And in a couple of weeks, again on Saturday, September 19th, you are doing a pop-up market. We are offering fresh produce, free fruit and veggies, and we're doing it in a neighborhood surrounded by 8,000 homes. So you can serve, you can invite. It's going to be Joliet Christ followers reaching Joliet, doing it together. How about Aurora? Whoa, yes. Aurora works with one of our international impact partners called World Relief. They do relief work around the globe, but they also resettle refugees in our country. And they did a summer camp for refugees, many of whom come from a Muslim background. And we decided to do a follow-up dinner for the high school students in that group, 25 high school refugee students. We're going to give them dinner. We're going to serve it on Monday, October 19th, not September 19th, but October in this case. And think about it, high school students at Aurora, this is a special calling for you, because you go to that and you serve and you get an opportunity to invite those students to come to student ministries. And your student ministries pastor, Chase, is like the coolest guy on the planet, right? So DeKalb is next, right? Did you know that NIU, right down the road from our DeKalb campus, specializes in reaching international students? They have an abundance of undergrad and master's and doctoral candidates. at their school from all around the world. And we partner with a ministry called Network of Nations that every Friday night, they host a potluck meal for any international students who want to come. 50 to 100 students show up. Well, again, on September 18th, Friday night, Christ Community Church is in charge of that meal. So if you're a DeKalb, in fact, if you're from another campus, but you want to go out there for this, Sue and I go out periodically because it's wonderful. You could bring food or serve food, but then you sit down with students who want to meet Americans and talk to them about anything under the sun, which would include Jesus. All right? So that's DeKalb. How about South Elgin, St. Charles? Woo! You know somebody who is right around retirement age, they're just approaching retirement or just newly into retirement, say mid-50s to early 70s. Next weekend, we launch a new ministry called Encore for this stage of life group. And the reason we're doing it, it's a once a month experience, is because we recognize that people who reach this stage of life often find themselves without a mission, without a sense of calling and purpose. And so we're going to do it in a fun way. We're going to have a 90-minute program. It's going to start after the 11 o'clock service. So it begins with lunch, 12:30 lunch next Sunday, and it's free the first time around. And then there's this program. So if you're younger than the mid-50s to early 70s, you can't come. But you can invite someone you know in that age group to come. And if you're in that age group, you could bring someone with you. And here's an added bonus. The second month that we do it, in October, it's the same Sunday that we do the Carrie Wood interview. So you got a baseball fan in that age group, you invite him to Carrie and then say, hey, lunch is on me. And you take him to lunch. All right, reaching together. You can help us do this. You can help us do it through weekend services. You can help us do this through outreach event. You can help us do this through caring ministries. Have you ever thought about that? Care night on Tuesday night at the St. Charles South Elgin campus. You'll have to look it up at the other campuses to find out when it runs. But it helps meet people's needs who are going through a messy divorce or who are grieving the loss of a loved one or who are struggling with an addictive behavior, any number of challenges that people are facing. One of the divorce recovery volunteer leaders said to me recently, she said, do you know that over 50% of the people in my divorce recovery group come from outside Christ Community Church? Yeah. This is an easy win for us, friends. You know anybody in any of those categories who could be helped, you tell them about Care Night. Any ministry in our church, it's not just for us. It's for the people we're trying to reach. Even your community group, your Bible study. You probably know people who've never cracked the binding on a Bible and are interested in what the book says. Invite them to your community group. Invite them to a rooted group. Think of yourself as an inviter. See, I've got a number of friends at Christ Community, and they know that I'm a rabid Cubs fan. So if there's a day when they can't use their tickets, they'll say to me, hey, I got 4 tickets to a Cubs game. You want to use them? And I say, yeah, because I know I get to invite 3 other people. I've got a long list of people I know would be immediately interested in a ball game at Wrigley. I get to invite people. I want you to think of yourself as holding tickets to stuff at Christ Community Church, all the things we do. And it's not just for you. It is for you. But it's for your friends, it's for your loved ones, it's for your neighbors, it's for the people you work with, it's for the kids at your school. You can invite them. You get it? Good. Okay, one last aspect of what it means to reach together, and I only have time to mention this one quickly in closing, and I'm going to call it our shared goodness. Our shared goodness. Go back to 1 Peter 2 one last time. Pick it up at verse 11. Peter says, dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Instead, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. There is a quote that is often attributed to Gandhi. We're not sure, it may have come from another source, but Gandhi supposedly said to a Christ follower, I like your Christ, but I don't like your Christians because your Christians are so unlike your Christ. Ouch. See, Gandhi's accusation, unfortunately, is sometimes true of individual Christ followers as well as churches. Our lives don't draw people to Jesus as they should. I mean, what do people in the six communities around our six campuses, what do they see? What do they hear about Christ Community Church? So Peter says, we have an opportunity to draw people to Jesus by our shared goodness. Do we have a reputation for shared goodness? He describes this goodness in two forms. First of all, it has to do with our character. He says in verse 11, I want you to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your souls. In other words, God's called you to be holy people. Let your behavior reflect that. If you're a Christ follower, your character, your behavior, your reputation, it's not simply a personal matter. It reflects on the church that you're part of. You know, outsiders are going to look at you and they're going to assume, so that's what church people are like. So, you know, if you're judgmental or you're materialistic or you're known as a gossip or you're sleeping with your boyfriend or you're unconcerned about things like poverty and injustice or you're a political ranter, you know, that's the brush that your brothers and sisters at Christ Community Church are going to get painted with. And it won't draw people to our Jesus. But if you're known for your kindness, if you're known for your generosity and eagerness to serve others, and then people hear that, oh, you go to Christ Community Church, they might just come to check us out and get introduced to Jesus as Savior and King. See, shared goodness, it is super attractional. You are a walking advertisement for our church that can then be used to draw people to Christ. And it not only has to do with our character, it has to do with our deeds. Peter challenges us in verse 12. He says that we're part of a community that is known for our good deeds. And when we do good deeds together, we not only minister to marginalized people, we also cause just regular people in our community to sit up and take notice and say, wow, those Jesus followers, there's something else. When we're known for the way we engage in ministry through our community impact ministries to at-risk kids or the homeless or foster families or tornado victims or refugees getting resettled or women going through a crisis pregnancy. These are just some of the people groups that we serve through community impact. Our shared goodness opens the door for people to hear the good news about Jesus. Now, I don't know what percentage of our weekend attenders ever engage, whether it's once a month or once a quarter, in a community impact ministry. But what if we doubled, what if we tripled that number? We would catch the attention of our communities. Let's reach together. Let's reach together. We've got a shared calling. We're a chosen people. We're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. And it's also that we could be a blessing. We're blessed so we could be a blessing, carry the good news of Jesus to others. We've got a shared proclamation. Everything we do around here can be shared with lost people. They could hear about Christ at our weekend services, special events, care night, our community, Bible studies, our rooted groups. And then as they see our shared goodness, as we roll up our sleeves and we serve through community impact, they will wake up and take notice of the fact that Jesus is making a difference in the lives of these people and check it out for themselves. Let me pray with you. Lord God, as we move into a time of communion in just a moment, we're going to hold the bread and the cup in our hand that remind us that Jesus reached out to us. He didn't treat his relationship with the Heavenly Father as an exclusive sort of deal, but he left heaven and he came to earth. He became one of us in order to reach us. And now we have an opportunity to reach others. We're so grateful that we know you as Savior and King. We want others to know you in that way as well. And sometimes, God, it's, you know, we're a bit timid on our own sharing the good news of Christ, but together we can accomplish something as a team. So give us a heart to get engaged, to serve, to invite. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. After sermons, we like to ask, what was a key takeaway from this message? What will you put into practice from this study of God's Word? At our website, ccclife.org, you can find more discussion questions, a prayer wall to post requests and pray for others, and where you can give to Christ Community Church. If you enjoyed this message, you can subscribe and share it with friends or on your socials. Again, thanks for listening.